Herzlich willkommen zu einem neuen Jahr Otto Talk. In diesem Podcast sprechen wir mit Persönlichkeiten aus der Umgebung und reden mit ihnen über die aktuellen Themen und stellen ihnen Fragen, die ihr vielleicht selber noch nicht wusstet.
Gute und herzlich willkommen zu einer weiteren Sonderfolge hier in unserem Otto Talk. Heute wird Ella aus dem Englisch-LK-Kurs von Frau Gemmer uns etwas über das Buch The Vanishing Half von Britt Bennett erzählen. Das Thema lautet Queer Community. Viel Spaß!
Hello and welcome to the first episode of our new podcast, Still Queer, Still Here, in which we want to talk about everything that has to do with our diverse community. My name is Jude, I'm 55 years old now, and in front of me is my wonderful husband, Reese. Hello, hello. Are you as excited as I am? I definitely am. My hands are literally shaking right now. You guys have to know, neither of us did something like that before, but we thought something had to change, and we want to build a space where everyone, and we mean everyone, feels safe, not alone, and understood. Right, that's why we will invite one of you each episode, in which you can tell us your story, share your feelings, hopes, experiences, but first of all, feel safe. Because everyone matters and no one should be embarrassed about their past or what they went through. It's what's making you to the person you are now. Embarrassment is anyway an underexplored emotion if you ask me. 100%. If you just be yourself, there's nothing wrong with you. Definitely. But we shouldn't beat around the bush for too long, Reese. You're right. So, Reese, why did we name our brand new podcast Still Queer, Still Here? Right, because our focus will be the queer community and everyone is welcome to listen. No matter if you are a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, an ally. Okay, I think everyone got it, honey. Okay, I just wanted to say. And we thought the first episode would be a great opportunity to introduce ourselves and tell a bit of our past, our development, what we went through, who we are now, and what the queer community means and meant to us. Because that's also the reason why we are making this podcast. You want to start, Reese? Sure. I'm Reese, 58 years old now. I grew up in Arkansas, in a transphobic family. I'm trans. And it took me a long time of becoming myself. Luckily, I met Jude at a Halloween party in LA, because without her, I would never have made it until this point. Before I got to know Jude, I went through a hard time with poverty, drugs, and prostitution. And I'm not embarrassed. It's part of my development. Back then, I had no other chances. I was in my 20s, tried to survive with small jobs like barkeeping and sex work. It was a hard time as a trans woman in this time. Although the first queer networks were formed in the 80s and 90s, there was still so much homophobia and transphobia. Life felt like survival. Thank you for being so honest with us. It's very brave to talk about the past so openly. If you would have asked me a few years ago, I'm sure I wouldn't have dealt with it so openly. But especially the queer community back then helped me to figure out who I was and to feel seen and not judged. But let's talk about you first before talking about the queer community. I've talked way too long now. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. You just opened yourself and that's the whole point of this conversation. True. I already feel how this place is becoming a safe space. But please, now it's your turn. Okay then. My name is Jude. I'm a queer black woman, and I grew up in a town where being black and queer felt like a big mistake. In my childhood, I had to experience bullying, exclusion, and discrimination. I also dealt with eating disorder and self-harm. So I moved to Los Angeles when I was around 18 to find myself and to find a life where I could breathe. So I got to UCLA to study medicine. And to be honest, the Halloween party you already mentioned, where Reese and I first met, was the first space I felt seen. It was a party full of costumes and queer friends. I think you, Reese, were the first person who truly noticed me. But we also have to talk about Barry. He's an old friend of ours. Yes, definitely. The people you surround yourself with are so important. Exactly. If you think there's something wrong with you, you definitely surround yourself with the wrong people. And without Barry, we wouldn't even have met. Barry was a good friend, and he was always there if we needed him. For example, when we argued. True. He also was a good listener and someone to talk to. And he's gay and a drag queen, by the way. Right. Maybe we should invite him to our next episode. What do you think? It would be very interesting and funny for sure. Yes, why not? I will message him right away. Reese, please, can you wait until we finished? Okay, fine. So, let's continue with drag. Yes. The first time I felt seen and safe was when I discovered drag. Not because I was looking for it. I found it because I was trying to survive. When I got to LA, I didn't have much. No family, no safety net, nothing. You really have to realize how brave you were. Sometimes the bravest thing is to just keep going despite the most difficult circumstances. Thanks, Jude. That's right. In review, I sometimes kind of don't know how I actually made it. How I kept going. But I think I learned quickly which streets, which bars, which faces were safer than others. The queer clubs were places where people like me gathered, where we looked out for each other, and drag was a big thing there. We also have to mention the AIDS crisis in the 80s and 90s, by the way. This crisis intensified fear, rage, grief, and profound social stigma. Because it widespread social stigma, particularly against the LGBTQ+ community. The crisis disproportionately affected gay men, intravenous drug users, and other marginalized groups. Queer spaces such as bars, drag shows, and clubs became essential safe spaces for survival, expression, and community building. Right, the AIDS crisis was a cruel crisis, and many people outside the community viewed queer individuals as dangerous, immoral, or abnormal. Yes, that's the cruel truth. But despite these challenges, the 80s and 90s also saw the emergence of networks, chosen families, and activism that provided solidarity, protection, and identity affirmation. Right. So, maybe you should tell us how you were feeling about drag. Sure. At first, I just watched. I stood in the back, learned the rules, learned who to trust, the queens weren't just performers, they kind of were teachers. They showed me how to exist openly in a world that didn't want me to. They showed me that visibility could be dangerous, but also powerful. I definitely agree. Drag wasn't about the stage, it was about community. About chosen family. About seeing people like me survive, laugh, take up space. That's why those shows became home for me. And then I brought you there. How was your first impression? Be honest. The first drag show you took me, I felt overwhelmed, nervous, unsure if I belonged in this city, in this crowd, in this life. I still remember your face as if it was yesterday. You were nervous, yes, but I also remember how your eyes widened as the performers took the stage. You're right. The music was loud, the lights were bright, and everyone was moving as if they owned the world. And maybe they did in a way I had never seen before. I felt small at first, like I shouldn't be there, like I had no right to take up space. But the performers, they were different. Every costume, every step, every joke was a statement. I exist. I am here and I am not ashamed. You said that in a very beautiful way. And it is the truth. That night I realized there were worlds I didn't even know existed. Where being yourself wasn't dangerous. It was celebrated. And I thought, maybe, just maybe, I could be part of it. Reese knew this world, and by bringing me into it, he was showing me what it meant to be seen. For the first time, I didn't feel like I had to disappear. I could just be. Also, this is just a normal sign of a healthy community, of a healthy relationship. That's true. We grew up in worlds where we were taught to be invisible, that being ourselves is wrong and embarrassing. If you ask me, what is really embarrassing is to be embarrassed of being yourself and living your own life as you want. Yes, right. This world in which we grew up was so broken. And we were forced to believe this was how life works. A world that forces you to stay small. Ridiculous. Life is meant to be lived. And I learned to live when I met you. Oh, stop. You would also have made it without me. Alone? Thinking everything is wrong with me? Even my family made me feel as if everything about me was wrong? I can relate that. Also, my family didn't accept who I was. They didn't give me the support I needed. But my chosen family did. I think the whole point is that you surround yourself with people who don't judge you for being yourself. It's a waste of time. And sometimes it's also your family that tries to keep you small. True. I think, all in all, I would say that the queer community and our chosen family become essential spaces of survival, healing, and self-definition. I totally agree. And now we are here. Adults, having our own little family, living the free life we always wanted, without any embarrassment. Can't believe it. Me neither, Reese. So I would say thank you all for listening And thanks for this very interesting and open conversation, Reese. It was a pleasure, Jude. And if any one of you wants to share your story about the queer community or whatever you want to share with us, or if you have any questions for us, just contact us, send us a message. You can find our email address in our bio. We are looking forward to hear from you and can't wait to hear about your story. And always remember, still queer, still here.